Okay. Erev Tov. Good evening. Next time I'm asking you, have to look in the parsha, okay?
Yes.
All right. Be prepared for next time. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהים מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
Amen.
Okay. We are standing in front of Shabbos, and right after Shabbos, the day we all expected, Matan Torah, Chag HaShabuot. We are going to get the Holy Torah, and we have a few days left to prepare ourselves. And we are in Parashat Naso. And if we want to give a title to Parashat Naso, it is connected directly to receiving the Torah. And the title would be Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. Why? Because there are a few unbelievable things in the parsha. But before we get to those other things, there is a story about Sotah. Sotah, a woman that has been with another man. Her husband suspected her, but he warned her not to be with this man. And she was caught with this man. And by the way, it doesn't matter if they did anything or didn't do. He suspects there is a problem, and he goes to the Kohen, and then we have the special water which has to, the Sotah has to drink. And right after this parasha, the Torah tells us about Parashat Nazir. Nazir that doesn't drink wine, and because of this, he cannot touch nothing that's connected with grapes. He's not allowed to get grapes. Nothing that has to do with grapes is not allowed to touch. And always, if there is a parsha and afterwards another parsha, there is a connection. There is a reason. So, of course, the first question is, what is the connection between Parashat Sotah to Parashat Nazir? What is the connection between a woman that did something wrong and drinks this special water and dies in a terrible death to this guy who takes on himself not to drink wine? Which, by the way, says kiafli. This is an unbelievable thing for somebody to take one of the pleasures and just stop it for God. Of course, there are opinions that it's not, you shouldn't do it, you should do it. But at the end of the day, he is taking himself and separates himself of one of the joys of life. So what is the connection between this and between the parsha of the Sotah? So Chazal say, Mi sheroe Sotah bekilkula yazir et atzmo min hayayin. If somebody sees this episode with this Sotah, he should stop or take himself away from wine and all the other stuff. Why? So he saw something. So what? What does this to do with him?
Is it a stranger that sees
something? A stranger, nothing to do with this woman. It's just passing on the street and he sees this coin, giving this woman the water. And if he sees this, the Torah says, Chazal say, that he has to, stop himself, refer himself?
Abstain.
Abstain himself from wine. What do you think is the connection? Is there a connection? What's the connection? This guy is walking on the street, sees something. So what?
That he shouldn't be started accusing his own wife or something? Or if he has one?
Chazal don't say about if he's married or not married. Nothing to do with him being married.
So what is Chazal say?
So what is the connection? It's strange. The connection is very simple. A lot of times we think that we are 100%. And then we see something, it's nothing to do with us. But you see, Chazal say that everything that happens around you, it's got something to do with you. Otherwise, you wouldn't see it. If you see something, God is talking to you through what's happening around you. Because if you see something, it is important. You have to think, why do I see this? And then we get to the level. Could be this great rabbi is going on the street and he sees what's happening, so he has... Are we frightened about this? He's going to sin with a woman? Of course not. So what's going on here?
There's nothing to do with him.
Nothing to do with him. The thing is, this week I saw a program on television about Haredim. And then also we have all this, always the talking about the women that they are being, let's say,
persecuted.
Not persecuted, they are the Torah is treating them as a second rate, they are not like men. And on this program there was this this woman with a tichel, with everything, and she was, they were talking about men and women and the way the Haredim behave, and etc. Let's put it this way. First of all, when I saw it, I really got aggravated. Why? Because they take always a few people that are not example of really what's happening, and they show the picture they want to show. And this, what was really aggravated is this woman like saying that if a man sees a woman and it makes him do something, or it's got an influence on him, he has to go to check himself. And I'm sorry. You know, the nature says that when a man sees a woman in certain circumstances, it's got an influence on him. And by the way, also sometimes women get influence from men because they are attracted to each other, because that's how God created the world. And if he wouldn't create this world, there were no children in the world. Now, the thing is, who is crazy? Or who is, let's say, disturbed? The one who is influenced by the other sex, or the one that is not influenced by the other sex? What do you think? Who is not normal?
The one who is not.
The one who is not. So Chazal are not stupid. If Chazal decided that men don't sit together with women in shul, they knew what they're talking about. They need to be a separation, not because women are less or men are more or the opposite. From a very simple reason. If you're dealing especially with holy stuff, you need to have a pure mind. You cannot do this if the other sex is involved. It's got an influence on you. And the Gemara, it's amazing. Last week, I think it was, the Daf Hayom, those who learned the Daf Hayom in the Gemara, there is a story about three great rabbis. One of the famous ones is Rab Amram Chasida. Rab Amram Chasida, he was... One day, they had those girls that were captured, they released them, and they brought him to his home and put them on the second floor. And there was a ladder that connects the first floor with the second floor. And they took away the ladder, so nothing is going to happen to those girls. No, nobody's going to climb up there. And Reb Amram Chasida, which was one of the greatest rabbi, suddenly the light comes, and he sees this shade of the girl in the second floor, in the attic, whatever you call it. He takes the ladder, which normally is a heavy ladder that 10 people need to move it. He takes it by his own hands, alone, and puts it, and he starts climbing on it to those girls on the second floor. This is Reb Amram Chasida. He gets to the middle, and he realizes what he's doing, so he starts shouting, "Fire! Fire in my house!" So everybody comes from outside to see, and they see this great rabbi in the middle of the ladder climbing to those girls up there. And they say, "You shamed us. This is how you behave? This is unbelievable." He says, "I shamed you? Better off I shamed you in this world than I will shame you in the next world." Now, what is this story? Then they say fire came out because he won the war against Yetzer Hara. But you know, Imagine to yourself that Reb Ovadia Yosef Zatzal is being caught in a situation like this. Reb Chaim Kanievsky caught in this situation. You choose the rabbi. Would you believe this picture? Seeing this Gdol Ador climbing up to start with a girl?
But you don't know why the boy is climbing.
What?
Maybe you don't know why he was climbing. Maybe
he shouted fire because he wanted people to come. He knew why he's climbing. He's climbing to get a girl.
So to prevent
that's the Gemara. To prevent himself doing it, he shouted fire so people would come in and he wouldn't do it. Then there's a story about Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir with a different situation, but again, to show us that Yetzer Hara is there, everywhere. And nobody has got immunity, you say, from Yetzer Hara.
No, because these Haredim work like this in the streets.
I must have, yes. My oldest brother, he used to go on the street without his glasses. So he wouldn't see the girls in the street.
He didn't fail?
No, he could see, but he couldn't see.
Clearly.
Yes. But he couldn't see the, he saw figures.
A rabbi told me once in a talk that he goes with the tzitzit in the hands.
Yeah.
All the time.
There are a lot of systems to do. And the whole thing is... And the whole idea, לא תטו אחרי לבבכם ואחרי עיניכם אשר אתם זונים אחריהם. It's not always when I talk about it, it says, I don't know, maybe there are saints here, but I'm not a saint, and I know that I've got an influence. What can I say? And unfortunately, people are trying to look at things, and this is Yetzer Hara doing it. Look at things in a very distorted way. To say that a man that sees a woman or is together with a woman in the same room shouldn't have any influence on him is so stupid. I'm not in the opinion that you're not allowed to hear this and you're not allowed to do this and that, but I know for sure that there is an influence. And in certain places, there shouldn't be any connection, any contact, let's put it this way, between men and women. And one of those places is shul. The shul is not a place to sit together.
The only thing is that if you sit with your husband in shul, you have nothing to talk about, so you sit there quietly.
And we sit with the women, you have a lot to talk. You have a lot to talk. See? You see
that?
That's what I'm saying. So, in the end, we have to do the calculation. Which Yetzer Hara is worse? That's the calculation we should do. So, but now we understand why the Torah is telling us that if you see the Sota, you should refrain yourself from the wine and stop drinking wine. What's the connection?
Yes.
To show you that there is an influence. And God is showing you that everybody in his own level. You see, you have to understand, of course, when we're talking about those, it sounds abstract, like Amram Hasida climbing on a ladder for a girl. But the idea is that the Gemara is telling us that each one of us has got the Yetzer Hara and he's got the fight and he has to fight it. And if he sees something in front of him, he has to think, maybe I did something wrong, and working on himself at his own level. Again, each one of us is on a different level. God doesn't want us to be like Moishale or Sarah. He wants us to be ourselves and to fight our own fight with our own power. Each one of us got powers. And we have to use them. That's the idea of Sfirat HaOmer. Sfirat HaOmer is counting the Omer in order to get to the level of using my potential, but never forget your friends. Together. And to understand and realize that while you're building yourself, Yetzer Hara is there. Yes, he wants to disturb you. He doesn't want you to get to the day that you receive the Torah. He doesn't want you to be prepared. And he's got all those systems to do it. So the Torah is telling you, if you see sometimes, you think you're 100%. It happens to us sometimes. Oh, we did good. We are in the best way. And suddenly you see something wrong. And of course you think to yourself, it's nothing to do with me. Doesn't happen to you? So the Torah is telling you, it has something to do with you. And if something happens in front of you, you have to check yourself. To see. To improve yourself. Sometimes it can be a sign to improve yourself also. It doesn't have to do that you did an unbelievable sin. It just shows you, no, you have to fix yourself, you have to elevate yourself a little more. That's the idea of Sfirat HaOmer, elevating. Not staying in the same level, climbing up. Yes.
Maybe he's warning you to also help someone else.
Could be also. Or it could also be.
Lust or anything else.
Could be a lot of things that I'm saying. But the Torah is telling you, you're seeing something, stop and think about it. Don't go on with life like nothing happened. If we hear about accidents, and people being killed, and people being injured, if people are being sick, it's talking to us. We are not alone in this world. Why did the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva die in Sfirat HaOmer? Why?
Because they didn't respect each other.
Only on Sfirat HaOmer?
No.
The whole year? So why didn't they die in the whole day, around the whole year? Interesting question.
Why didn't they all die together at the beginning?
Sorry?
Why didn't they all die together at the beginning?
But the question is, if somebody is not behaving well the whole year, and this is the reason he dies, so it should be the whole year. The plague should take place the whole year. Why? Especially in Sfirat HaOmer and in the beginning of Sfirat HaOmer. Why? Must be a reason. Because what happened? What? Before Sfirat HaOmer, they were behaving unbelievable. And when Sfirat HaOmer started, Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva started not respecting each other?
Yeah.
Is it?
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. But you think the idea is very simple. If the whole year around I'm not behaving 100% with my friend, it's not right, but it's not Sfirat HaOmer. But when you get to the level of counting to receive the Torah and the preparation, then you should be more than the normal year. So if you're going on in the same behavior that you went the whole year in Sfirat HaOmer, this is why they died in Sfirat HaOmer. Because they didn't change their behavior. They went on with the same behavior. But when you're counting to the Omer, when you're counting to the Torah, you have to improve yourself. You have to be better. Thank you. Of course, again, I must say, no mistake, we're talking about with Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva at a very, very high level. If we would behave like Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, we would be saints. But the lesson is for us. As I said, each one of us has to learn it in his own level. And how do you do it? What is the whole idea? So then we see on our parsha.
I didn't understand this thing from Sota because she was drinking the water. She wasn't naked. She wasn't. What the man
no,
said.
No, 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 no.
What the man saw. The man saw only a woman drinking.
No, no, not drinking. The drinking is after she was caught with this man alone.
She was caught with this man.
Not doing anything, but being close with him in a house. After her husband told her, don't go with this man, don't be with him, and she's doing it.
Okay.
God, is this Gershonite? Is that Moshe's son?
No.
Talks about the Gershonites.
No, no, it's not.
The Parsha.
No.
Is that his son?
No, it's sons of Aaron. Because Gershonites are Kohanim, not Leviim. Mm-hmm. Which one are you talking about?
It was just to count the girls.
Number 12,
remember?
Gershon.
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 Was it Moshe's son named Gershon?
Gershon.
Nobody talks about him being the son of Moses. Nobody. I don't know. Maybe I'll check it again, but I don't think it's the son of Moses. Shevet HaGershuni. Gershom, yes, not Gershon.
In English, you say Gershon. In Hebrew, it's also Gershon. Because he was like the head.
But it's nothing. I don't think it's got anything to do with. This is one of the big lessons. When somebody is in a very high position, sometimes, unfortunately, he neglects his own children.
His son was doing something.
Maybe yogurt. From what I know, there is nothing. There's no connection. This is Gershom, and this is Gershon, the Shevet HaGershuni, and there are the tribes that came from Shevet Levi. Nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu himself. From what I know. I don't know. Anyway, after we understand that building ourselves, we have to be very careful about Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, and we learn it from the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Our parsha is a sample of unity. And where do we see it? We see a few unbelievable things. The first thing is, by the way, we have also in our parsha the Birkat Kohanim, Yevarchecha Hashem Vishmerecha, Yer Hashem Panav Elecha Koneka, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, an unbelievable blessing is also in our parsha. And here, this is the Sota. Let's go after the Sota. We have the Nazir. And let's go over this, the Nazir. And we'll get, where is it? The blessing of the Kohanim. And then, Perek Zayin. Perek 7. Go to Pasuk 2. Okay? You've got it?
No.
Pasuk 2.
This one of the longest sentences.
Vayakrivu Nesi'ei Israel, and the princes of Israel brought offering, Rashei Bet Avotam, the heads of their father's house, Hem Nesi Amatot, Hem Amdim HaPikudim, Vayaviu Et Korbanam, and they bring the offering. And what is their offering? Look at Pasuk 3. Very interesting. Shesh Eglotzav, 6 wagons, okay?
Yeah.
We have 12 tribes, so 6 wagons means one minute. And now see, Ushtei Asar Bakar. And 12?
Oxen.
In other words, if we want to do the right calculation, each one of the princes brought one ox. Yes? And two tribes brought one wagon. In other words, they took 12 oxes, connected them to 6 wagons, which means that 2 tribes had 2 oxes carrying one wagon.
Wagon, right.
Why didn't they bring...
And there's 2 tribes on that one wagon.
Exactly. And that's the idea. Why did they do it this way? They could have brought each one wagon. They're stingy, bring 12 wagons. And 24, and each one of the tribes will be 2 oxes for the wagon. Then you have a lot of wagons and a lot of oxes. Why to bring only six wagons.
Because then you got to feed those extra oxen and so forth, you know.
In partnership.
Because they were working together.
What's marriage?
Together.
Two oxes connected to one wagon.
One way of putting it.
I'm talking about it sounds funny, but that's the idea.
That's true.
It's two oxes, each one with his own opinions, and we know somebody that can behave like oxes. Two sides. But they are connected to one wagon. And in other words, I've got my own ideas, you have your own ideas, but we're going in the same direction and we're carrying the same wagon. We're building the same home. That is unity. That's the idea of Sefirat HaOmer. That's what those princes did. Showing us how to stay an individual. Each one brought his own ox, but they put those two oxes on the same wagon. Says, I've got my opinions, my talents, my abilities, but I
share
it together with you. And together we carry the wagon of life. Together we climb to the mountain. Together we're going to receive the Torah. Unbelievable. But that's not the end of it. Then the princes bringing
so where the
12 go? Sacrifices. Exactly the same. And the Torah is going on 12 times. There is no other place in the whole Bible, like in our parsha, that the Torah is repeating itself 12 times with exactly the same items. Not one pasuk, a few pasuk. And let's read one of them. We go. Pasuk 13. Vekorbano. This is the first korban that brings Nachshon ben Aminadav from the tribe of Judah. Pasuk 13. Got it? Vekorbano. Vekorbano. כארת כסף אחת, 30 ו-100 משקלה, מזרק אחד כסף, 70 שקל בשקל הקודש, שניהם מלאים סולת, בלולה ושמן למנחה, כף אחת 10 זהב ולהקטורת, פר אחד בן בקר, ואיל אחד, כבש אחד בן שנתו לעולה, שעיר עזים אחד לחטאת, ולזבח השלמים בקר 2, אלים 5, תודים 5, כבשים בני שנה 5, זה קורבן נחשון בן עמינדב. Now you saw quite a few psukim, a lot of letters, a lot of words, and what I read now, you can read 12 times the same. The Torah could have told us that the 12 tribes, the 12 princes, brought 12 sacrifices, and this is the sacrifice those 12 tribes brought. But no, the Torah is telling us again and again and again and again. Why?
Well, we say the Torah never works. Your words.
So what's going on here?
He's saying something to us.
What do you think? What do you think the Torah tries to tell us? The Torah is telling us that to be together is more important than anything else. There was a famous king in Am Yisrael. I think it was Yerovam or Rehavam. I don't remember. I always make. I don't remember which way, Yerovam or Rehavam, this is their name. But he was an evil king from the point of view of worshipping idols. But he held the people together. There was unity. He cared about the people and the people cared about each other. He won all the wars he went on. God gave him every time he won the war. Every time he won. Though he was worshipping idols. Why? Because what it's God wants us, first of all, Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamucha, to be together. So God, Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, didn't know what to do. Because this sacrifice was not being asked. The princes just decided. And they say it was Netanel ben Suar from Shevet Issachar who decided and came with this idea. Let's bring the same sacrifice exactly. Bring it as offering to show that we are united with. Not one is bringing more. You all know,
so
for example...
No jealousy either to eliminate that.
I told you once, in Antwerp especially, when they do a Kiddush on Shabbos, a Kiddush is more than a wedding sometimes. Like they do this unbelievable thing, the tables look, and it costs a fortune. And the problem is that when it's your turn to do a kiddush, you have a simcha, you have to compete with this thing. It's a very high level. And sometimes people that haven't got the money take loans in order to make the same thing.
Wow.
So one of the rabbis of one of the Hasidut there, Hasidim, says, he stopped it. He says, from this day on, a kiddush is schmalzering, liquor, the soft drink, whatever he says, crackers, that's it. There was a whole thing, wow, what can we do? This is not nice, we have to do it in a... God, we're very rich people in those community congregations.
And eliminating your shami kugel, how you do that?
No, kugel, of course.
Oh,
without kugel. Kugel, yes. No, chas v'chalila, chas v'shulam. Without kugel, cannot be a kiddush without a kugel. Oh, of course. But, that's it. And from this day on, he says, if somebody doesn't like it, here is the door. That's the way I want it to be, says this rabbi. And from this day on, that's the way it works. And there is no jealousy. And everybody's got not afraid, oh, I've got to bring a kiddush next week. What should I do? And nobody is showing off because the rabbi said, that's what you're going to bring. And this is exactly what happened here. Unbelievable. Everybody brought the same. Now, this sacrifice is, from one point of view, a sacrifice, a personal sacrifice. And a personal sacrifice you don't bring on Shabbos. Only public sacrifices are being brought to the temple on Shabbos. But God said, if you showed me this unity, this loving, with no jealousy, I'm giving you also the Shabbos. And each one of you is going to bring his sacrifice in a special day. Because Moshe Ben didn't know what to do. He said, How do I do this sacrifice? Do I do it in the same day? Because there's no problem. All those 12 tribes they bring, and they do it, and they can do it in the same day. They can bring it the same day. But God said, no. You, every one of them is going to have
his
own special day. Including Shabbos. And it's going to be written in the Torah 12 times. This is our parsha. This is preparation for Matan Torah. This is the way you receive the Torah. To be together. Yes. You're not losing your individuality. You're not losing
it.
Yes. You're not losing it. God doesn't want you to lose it. Because He's made you special. He wants you to use the tools He gave you, the talent He gave you. He wants you to use it. But to use it for everybody. To use it together. Each one of us with its own ability, together, standing in front of Har Sinai. On Sunday, we will stand all